Arthur pushed himself up from his couch and shook his head. "Where are we going?" he said. "To confront an ancient knight." "Can it," said Ford. "Arthur, we are going out into the galaxy to have some fun. Is that an idea you can cope with?" "What's Slarty Bartfast looking so anxious about?" said Arthur. "Nothing," said Ford. "Doom," said Slarty Bartfast. "Come," he added with sudden authority. "There is much I must show and tell you." He walked towards a green wrought-iron spiral staircase set incomprehensibly in the middle of the flight deck and started to ascend. Arthur, with a frown, followed. Ford slung the guide sullenly back into his satchel. "My doctor says that I have a malformed public duty gland and a natural deficiency in moral fibre," he muttered to himself, "and that I am therefore excused from saving universes." Nevertheless, he stomped up the stairs behind them. What they found upstairs was just stupid, or so it seemed, and Ford shook his head, buried his face in his hands, and slumped against a pot plant, crushing it against the wall. "The central computational area," said Slarty Bartfast, unperturbed. "This is where every calculation affecting the ship in any way is performed. Yes, I know what it looks like, but it is, in fact, a complex four-dimensional topographical map of a series of highly complex mathematical functions." "It looks like a joke," said Arthur. "I know what it looks like," said Slarty Bartfast, and went into it. As he did so, Arthur had a sudden vague flash of what it might mean, but he refused to believe it. The universe could not possibly work like that, he thought. Cannot possibly. That, he thought to himself, would be as absurd as... He terminated that line of thinking. Most of the really absurd things he could think of had already happened. And this was one of them. It was a large glass cage, or box. In fact, a room. In it was a table. A long one. Around it were gathered about a dozen chairs of the Bentwood style. On it was a tablecloth, a grubby red and white check tablecloth, scarred with the occasional cigarette burn, each presumably at a precisely calculated mathematical position. And on the tablecloth sat some dozen half-eaten Italian meals, hedged about with half-eaten breadsticks and half-drunk glasses of wine, and toyed with listlessly by robots. It was all completely artificial. The robot customers were attended by a robot waiter, a robot wine waiter, and a robot maitre d'. The furniture was artificial, the tablecloth artificial, and each particular piece of food was clearly capable of exhibiting all the mechanical characteristics of, say, a pollo sobreso, without actually being one. And all participated in a little dance together, a complex routine involving the manipulation of menus, bill pads, wallets, checkbooks, credit cards, watches, pencils and paper napkins, which seemed to be hovering constantly on the edge of violence, but never actually getting anywhere. Slarty Bartfast hurried in, and then appeared to pass the time of day quite idly with the maitre d', whilst one of the customer robots, an Autorary, slid slowly under the table, mentioning what he intended to do to some guy over some girl. Slarty Bartfast took over the seat which had been thus vacated, and passed a shrewd eye over the menu. The tempo of the routine round the table seemed somehow imperceptibly to quicken. Arguments broke out. People attempted to prove things on napkins. They waved fiercely at each other and attempted to examine each other's pieces of chicken. The waiter's hand began to move on the bill pad more quickly than a human hand could manage, and then more quickly than a human eye could follow. The pace accelerated. Soon, an extraordinary and insistent politeness overwhelmed the group, and seconds later it seemed that a moment of consensus was suddenly achieved. A new vibration thrilled through the ship. Slarty Bartfast emerged from the glass room. "Bistromathics," he said, "the most powerful computational force known to parascience. Come to the room of informational illusions." He swept past and carried them bewildered in his wake.